And a good Tuesday morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN. For the next 53 minutes or so, we will be talking with a couple members of the Manhattan City staff. We have City Manager Ron Fear joining us on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And Mayor Ucciaretti also on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Nice to be with you this morning.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you both on here as we get set for another City Commission legislative meeting tonight, 7 p.m., and those meetings, again, I believe still virtual. Are we meeting in person tonight, or is this still going to be from your homes?
We're still virtual tonight. Basically, through the month of July, the commission passed an extension to its emergency resolution that agreed to take it up to the August 4th meeting, and that's actually something we'll talk about tonight, as to whether or not that's what we want to continue to do or whether we want to make any amendments to those provisions. But yes, we're virtual tonight, plan to be virtual again for the work session next week.
It seems to be working out pretty well, though, the virtual meetings, at least from our end as reporters. I think it's been a fluid transition for us. I don't know about for you guys having to conduct business in this manner. But how would you guys rate this versus, you know, obviously in person's better, but how would you rate the way it's going?
Yeah, I'll take that. I think it's been pretty good. I think the one thing I really do miss is before our legislative meetings, we usually have a briefing session from about 5:30 to 7:00. Where we just kind of discuss other committees we've been on or what's going on around town and calendar items and such. So I do miss that piece. And right now we only see commissioners at our meetings. So that, other than that, I think in my opinion, we've had a lot more emails, a lot more feedback on a lot of agenda items than in the past. And it seems like it's working fairly well. I haven't heard anything negative about it. Occasionally, I think the sound or the echoing or any technological disruptions would be a problem. But I'm not sure that would not have happened even if we were having live meetings where we've had similar technology problems when it was being aired on TV and Facebook as well.
Are you guys able to gauge at all about how many participants from the community have tuned in for these meetings since they've been held virtually? Whether it's online or on the city's local access channel?
Yes, we have on the various platforms. So our Boxcast that we do online, as well as Facebook Live, the different venues which we carry it, the one we don't have the data on, the Cox broadcast. So that's, as the mayor indicated, sometimes we have technical glitches, but we've had technical glitches when we've met in person, too. I think one of the challenges we've had is when actually staff, some of the staff participating in the online meetings early on were working from the commission room, and one of the things we found was that it was difficult for commissioners to hear us over the commission room microphone. So we then went to our individual computers to participate like they have, and that's helped quite a bit, but it does impact the sound, and I think that's really the big difference. Is just when you have a commission meeting, you're not able to take those live public comments like you would if you were in person. But we have tried to do make a hard effort to provide those opportunities for folks to make public comment. For example, today the public comment can come in right before 5:00. The commission gets those emails directly when they're sent, and then any accumulation of that. And so I think it's been a reasonable variation, and so that'll be part of the discussion about even if we go back to in-person, one of the things that that the law does allow for is for remote participation, whether that's because of circumstances or travel that allows that or other issues. So that's something and the Attorney General during the COVID made some recommendations for accommodating that remote participation. So know, there's a little bit of a lag, and so just, you know, it's affected some of our broadcast quality and just the delay between being on an online platform among some of the different components. And really, you know, you're used to being able to, you know, look to your right or left and see individuals when they want to speak. And I think we've adjusted well, I think, you know, we'll see where the commission wants to go with that.
Yeah. Of course, the meeting's at 7 o'clock tonight, and three different ways you can tune in. Of course, there's the Cox Cable Channel 3, the city's website, cityofmhk.com/TV, or you can view it on the city's Facebook page as well. And there are some items of note here. There is a public hearing tonight, which we can get into next, and that it has to do with amending the Community Development Block Grant Consolidated Plan here for 2020 through 2024.
Right. You might recall that the city was awarded a CARES Act grant through the Department of Housing and Urban Development in the amount of $328,976. In order to expend those funds, we have to modify our planning for how to use those funds. We could also use some of our normal CDBG funds for CARES and COVID purposes. This plan was prepared to amend it to create the categories of need. Staff did a good job, the community development staff, of engaging the public. They identified through the Community Wellness Coalition some of the needs assessment, some of the latest inventory, which you know, the top three needs that was identified from the Wellness Coalition and that survey work that was done were rental assistance, access to food and food assistance, employment and job security, and then health care and utility assistance were kind of right behind that. So as a result of that, we did provide for social service agencies and others that work in those areas to submit some applications for this CARES Act funds. The breadbasket has submitted a request for $54,000 and 32,000 pounds of food. The Stepping Stones has put in for $2,400 just to work with HIPAA-compliant Zoom accounts for tele-interviews. The Raleigh County Senior Service Center would like about just short of $8,000 to hire a janitor to assist with additional cleaning to prevent COVID spread. Girls on the Run has applied for $22,000 for mental health support through youth programs. The Fit Closet has applied for $17,491 to assist low and moderate income families in identifying and connecting to resources that are available in the community. And then the North Central Flint Hills Area Agency on Aging has requested $134,000 to help with Friendship Meals program in Manhattan, and that's basically 100 meals a day for a year. Some of these requests have to be vetted a little bit further to ensure they're in compliance with everything. Generally speaking, each different federal agency's program has a few different rules and guidelines to follow, so that process has to occur. But mainly the discussion tonight is to amend our plan that will allow for these type of expenditures to be made in those various categories. So that's the purpose of the public hearing. And then there's still about $108,000 of unallocated from the $328,000 that would still be available, and there would still be methods for others to apply for some of those funds or reprioritize. You might recall that when we first got this, we had talked about utilizing some of those funds for an alternative care site. We're still, the emergency operations group is still looking at the potential alternative care site to plan for, but we do think there are other sources of funds that can be utilized for that. And again, we get about just over $500,000 entitlement funding annually, and this plan would allow for us to even though we've budgeted those funds for different components already in the community, it would allow for us to reprioritize those and to reprogram for other CARES activities. Of course, we have the Spark funding that's going on. That's a different line of revenue that we're also planning to discuss tonight here in some of the budget discussion, because the county's certainly working with local units of government to try and determine how to spend the $15 million that's been allocated for Riley County, and also a little bit in Pott County. So those are some of those particular aspects for how we're trying to delineate what some of the needs are and some of the funding that is available to help meet those needs.
All right. And is this the CDBG funds? I know that with the Spark funds, it's kind of a quick turnaround on that. Do you have a quick turnaround with these monies as well, or is it a little different?
It's a little different. So the HUD funds with CDBG give us a little bit more flexibility. I believe that these can even spread into next year too. So, and there could even be some additional HUD funds coming in this regard. So, yeah, the Sparks is a different timeline with funding that the state is providing to local units, and then they're having their own round of funding over the next couple months for the private sector and other partnerships, nonprofits, to be able to apply for some of their funds.
All right. Mayor Reddy, do you have any comments on the CDBG funding request?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's very good that we received the $328,000. There are so many needs in our community, and all of these need to be related to COVID-19. And I believe they said something like for prevention, prepare for, and to respond to COVID-19 pandemic. And there are so many invisible things that happen that are hard to document, such as homelessness, mental illness, and the healthcare needs. And some of those folks that need these types of funds are unaware of resources that are available to them. So I think that's why there was this extra element to make sure we have public involved in the process as far as the survey. And they were able to incorporate the Flint Hills Wellness Coalition that Ron had mentioned, and our social service agencies. You know, social service agencies always are an outside source that comes for funding for city funds. But anything related to COVID-19 is what this grant is looking for. And I think this will help some of those agencies. It certainly won't take care of all of it. And then we are still in quote-unquote phase one of this COVID-19. So there might be more funds in the future if this goes on, because they're saying in fall it's supposed to have this resurgence. So we will see. But I am thankful that there was some money allocated to the needs in our community, and hopefully we can meet those needs and work on the prevention methods for the future as well.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more with Mayor Yusha Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear as we preview tonight's Manhattan City Commission meeting on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.